花钱。
I'm not what we're here for. You're right. I'm sorry. That's what we're here for.
I want you to know that I caught that.
You're gonna start the podcast.
Is that the murder?
That is the start of the podcast.
You're gonna start the podcast.
By the murderous glare.
Yeah, that's in the liner notes. Larry's face is so upset right then and there.
That's what we're here. That's what we're here to do anyway. So,
all right. Welcome to Geeks of the Square Table, episode 73. I am your host, Lawrence of America.
Yeah, maybe 73.
With me today is someone who wants to be a smartass. We're just going to skip up.
I have like a degree in smartass.
So you're still in school.
I'm Gomer.
Still, I thought you were still working on that.
Yeah. I'm working on my master's degree, smartass.
Mostly I'm Jules. Sometimes.
And I'm Adam.
You know, the sad thing is, like, of my group of friends originally, I was, like, the smartass. And then I met you guys, and I don't feel so bad anymore.
Good. I'm glad we could help you out. Yeah. You need to up your game.
I found that I'm, like, smartass light.
Now,
you know what I mean?
L-I-T-E. Yeah. Now you know
how. Well, it's your generation does everything half-assed.
Dude, I'm very conscious of being an a-hole. Like, yeah. I was like, oh my god, is this what it's like all the time to be with me? That's awful.
That's because you young kids today never do anything fully. You know, you do everything half-assed.
Oh no, I know. I go all out.
Now, you can be three-quarters ass now and be king.
Yeah.
It's great. I love modern society, man.
Yeah, you could have Marvel zero Spider-Man and still win
Clone
an
Saga.
Award.
That's
one.
Not gonna happen.
It's not gonna happen. It's not gonna happen. The only thing they can do.
No.
Right,
only
so,
cheesy villain. Right, Clone Saga is too complicated for a comic book. It is way too complicated.
If your internet's been shut off for the past
you know,
2 days,
we can dumb it down. We can make the Kree involved. They're the ones who clone Peter Parker. Disco.
All right, Jules, all your right, ideas
so
are bad. Go
where
away.
Are we starting today with the podcast?
Spider-Man.
Let's start with Spider-Man. It's big news. It's a really big
Marvel,
deal.
Since like 2000, 1999, somewhere around there, has leased Spider-Man to Sony so they could put Spider-Man movies out. It was a bad call. It turned out to be a really bad idea.
Marvel leased it before Disney bought them. Disney being
but they also made Iron Man before Disney bought them. So they had the chops. They just didn't realize they had the chops.
Yeah, but Spider-Man
they had the chops almost a decade later. Iron Man didn't come out until 2008.
Right, right.
You're right.
There was already a successful Spider-Man series before that.
Yeah.
Still, it turned out to be a bad idea. So I think the deal between Marvel and Sony that is bringing Spider-Man to the Marvel Cinematic Universe is no money. Right? They're not paying anything on the top. Sony gets creative rights a little bit.
Yeah, they say, final officially, yes, that Sony maintains directorial and creative control.
But in all cases, if Sony's smart, they like do whatever you want.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. That's one of those.
Yet it is being produced by Marvel Studios. Yes.
In all fairness, that's one of those. My dick is big.
Yeah.
Like I just want everyone to know it's big.
But
and Sony's like,
that's
dude,
all that
we
is.
Know your size and we're cool with that.
Yeah.
You go ahead.
We just want everyone else to think.
Yes.
All right,
but
totally got this.
Yes. All right, but now that's
that on the surface deal. All
right,
like,
but now that they've given the green light for Marvel, you know, to bring Spider-Man into the Marvel Cinematic Universes, I'm almost kind of hoping that Spider-Man shows up in the Avengers 2.
He won't show up in Age of Ultron because they're already
wrapped.
There may be an after credit scene at Age of Ultron added. I say it's very unlikely.
Civil War
would be the closest.
That would be the best.
It's already been confirmed that Spider-Man will show up
in Civil War
in some capacity.
And then more than likely, that's going to be the after credits.
All right, now because of the comics, I'm hoping that Spider-Man does show up and be part of the Avengers, along with maybe one of the characters from
Spider-Man.
From Fantastic Four.
No, that won't happen.
Well, I know it probably won't happen, but if they're going to do it, it's got to be the Thing.
No, they're not going to do anything. And they're still making money off it.
Yeah, okay. Here's what's going to happen. We're going to see... We've already seen less influence on the comics. They haven't been mentioned in the MCU. And it's going to stay that way. Marvel's just going to cut them off. Like, cancerous limb.
I think that the Fantastic Four, comics-wise, was not selling well, and that's why they canceled it. Reed Richards... even more so, is a huge part of a current event, and we'll see a Fantastic Four book this time next year, after Secret Wars is done. We'll see another one.
See, I think that Marvel was going to cancel it anyway, and the fact that it wasn't selling well was just an excuse.
Well, what about Spider-Man, though? Spider-Man sells really well, and they don't own it, so...
Yeah, but they know that now they do.
But they've always had a good...
In all fairness, they started Spider-Verse at the perfect time when they're in talks with Sony. They want to expand the character.
They are the first family of Marvel.
Yeah.
They'll probably be the first reboot book.
I agree with that. After Secret Wars, I think so, too. Even though it's not technically a reboot book.
Well...
The do-over. Let's just start over.
I disagree.
So you don't think there will be a FF?
I don't think it... I'm not saying there won't be one. I don't think it'll be the first one.
Oh, it might not be the first one. It will be part of that first
one. I think it will be well after the movie is out and out of theaters.
Well, they're doing two, but they're doing another one. There's already a Fantastic Four sequel announced and scheduled on the calendar.
Well, and they've had really good luck with that. Yeah.
Agreed, but we don't know this. I'm giving the FF movie the benefit of the doubt. It don't look like an FF movie, but...
I'm not saying whether or not the movie is going to be good or not. Yeah. It doesn't matter. I'm just saying that Marvel, the comic company, they're not going to support the
comic's not going to come out until after the movie.
I agree with that.
If you're coming out with a Fantastic Four movie, that's all well and good. But if you have not even released the movie yet, and the only thing you've released is a 1-minute snippet of a trailer, how the hell can you go from just using that as a point of reference to going, oh, we're just going to go ahead and make a second movie?
The same reason.
A whole myriad of movies.
Here's what I'm saying, the way it works out. They have, you plan a movie years in advance. Well, yeah. I mean, a theater's on it. Okay, well, we want to do this. We need a movie to come out next summer.
Yeah.
You know, they've already started. You know, there's like a year after it's done filming.
Yeah.
There's 2 years of filming. Then like a year of script writing. Sometimes.
There's a bigger point. Hold on. There's a bigger point about movies. Most movies make their money back.
Yeah.
In the long run, even if you have to go all the way to DVD sales, most movies make their budget back. And they know for a fact that Fantastic Four is going to make its budget back opening weekend.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how good it is.
Right.
People are going to go see it.
Well, it doesn't matter. It's toys and crap.
Exactly. Exactly.
And here's the other thing about this whole book movie schedule.
Yes. Yeah.
Every month I pick up a preview. I don't know 6 issues from now if that issue is going to be good, but I'm already excited about it. They put it in front of my face.
Well, 3 months, but yeah.
3 months, yeah. I think about it.
Well, the schedule, talking about movie schedule, Spider-Man has pushed back.
Totally changed the game.
Everything. Everything got pushed back to the date of the thing that was coming out after it.
Speaking of movies and previews and comics, 3 months from now, there's supposed to be a Bill and Ted comic.
Oh, it looks great. They're still working on a reboot for that movie.
What? They are?
They've been working on that for years.
Well, reboot is kind of a weird word because I heard that Bill and Ted are supposed to be in it, and they're supposed to have someone, like maybe their kids or something.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of rumors. They ended the second movie with kids. Yeah, they could easily...
Yeah.
You know, I love the end of that movie. They could easily work.
What was that guitar intro? Oh my god!
Doing their big concert for the world, and they don't know how to play yet. So it's like, what are we gonna do? And then they use the time machine again.
Yes.
They should have just done that in the first damn place.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's great. But yeah, let's go back to Spider-Man. Let's stay on topic, guys.
Let's stay on topic. Spider-Man.
He'll be in Civil War.
He'll be in Civil War.
So what the Spider-Man movie? It does not make sense for them to go in chronological order and say, oh, in a Spider-Man movie, now, in chronological order after Iron Man and Hulk and Avengers and all this stuff has happened, now there's a Spider-Man. It makes more sense for them to sort of have a flashback to maybe even during the first Iron Man movie, time-wise.
Well, I was going to say, this is when...
Exactly.
It takes place before the Avengers.
This is when Spider-Man was created. And, oh, by the way, he is doing his mission now in the present, you know, doing some shit. but we're going to flash back and show you what he was doing during the battle in New York.
Flashback would be the best way to do it. Because Spider-Man is like Batman. Everybody knows
he's a well-known character that he could show up full costume, full powers, and we just accept it.
I totally agree with that. I think they could do the origin in a 10-minute montage during the opening credits.
They've already devoted two movies to Spider-Man's origin. Yeah. We don't need a third one.
Yeah. And I don't want to see Uncle Ben die again. Exactly. I'm sad. Yeah. I'm sad. But...
And Martin Sheen did a good plot.
Sally Field, I thought, was a lot better.
Are we going to see Spider-Man the superhero as a high school student?
Yes. That's what we have to see.
They've already announced that he is going to be a high school.
They're looking for very young.
Yeah.
So we can also see flashbacks to him talking to Nick Fury.
He's also got to be a dork. He has to be shoved into a locker at some point.
Are we going to see...
He can't be Andrew Garfield.
Yeah, who is the heartthrob. Yeah. But I mean, Peter Parker's not an ugly dude.
He's
though.
Not an ugly dude,
but
he's
just dorky and nerdy and kind of, you know, scrawny.
But all right, are we going to see organic web shooters or mechanical web shooters? Because that's a huge deal.
It sounds like a huge deal, but all it will be is a 5-minute montage, and then they'll forget about it.
If we're looking at Spider-Man in the larger picture of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, he's going to be there for a while.
Yeah.
Assumably next to Bruce Banner and Tony Stark, very smart guys. How does Peter Parker, the scientist, fall into that? Because I think that's an important part of his character.
More than likely going to lose Iron Man. Downey's not going to be this forever. Yeah. Spider-Man is a good injection for Iron Man's character when he leaves.
You really think they'll do that?
I think by the third, they said, after Age of Ultron, it'll be a totally different line.
Speaking of which.
And if you do Civil War, you could totally lose Iron Man. Downey's getting up there in years.
Getting up there in years. He's a heartthrob still.
He's still great.
He's not getting up there in years. He's just getting up there in dollars.
If you want to keep it going, you want a younger Avenger. Yeah, you're going to want new characters.
But, okay.
Look,
Robert Downey Jr. is still a sound investment dollar.
Yeah, he is. I agree.
Don't get me wrong.
But did we not read in Civil War where Spider-Man was totally going to take the Iron Man mantle?
But look, this is what
I'm saying that way. He's young. He's funny.
He's
witty like Iron Man is, but he's more likable.
They're going to have to find a hell of an actor.
They're going to have to find a hell. I'm not going to say that. But he'd be a good replacement.
A hell of an actor and a young actor. It's really hard to get.
Yeah, all right, but look, here's what I want to say. I don't care if it's for Age of Ultron or whatever. By God, I want to see a movie from the Marvel Universe where War Machine is predominantly in it other than Iron Man 3 and where he is just flat out kicking ass, taking names, and causing all kinds of fucking destruction.
I think in Age of Ultron he's going to have his, you know, comeuppance as far as action goes. There's a new War Machine designed for that.
Well, good, because that Iron Patriot thing was ridiculous. I hated that.
I understood why they did it. It was a pretty good homage to, you know, the character in the comics.
It worked well with how they were marketing Iron Man. Yeah, I mean, it made perfect sense from the movie for him to have Iron. And I even like the whole thing, like, his password was War Machine.
Especially in the build-up to, like, Captain America and that sort of thing.
It's a good building.
Like. Yes. Yeah.
And, you know.
But I agree with you. His action was not as cool as it should have been.
Yeah.
It should have been much more.
I liked him in 2 when him and Tony.
He was completely silver. He looked like War Machine.
Yeah.
But the only problem about it, guys, is, let's be honest, War Machine is a terrible name. And, you know, we all grew up.
For modern day
characters. You're right. Specifically, the Black Iron Man is called War Machine. That's a little rough for people who don't know the character.
Yeah, it works. For the viewer,
it's a little rough.
You're right.
Character's War Machine, and the other guy's Iron Man.
And the guy who's piloting War Machine is a colonel in the United States Air Force.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. What's wrong with that?
If you're going to have a War Machine, might as well have somebody.
You might as well have a soldier in the war machine.
I'm saying, for new viewers. I understand.
My sister who saw the movie with me, it's like, why has he got to be War Machine? And the other guy's Iron Man.
Well, that's why they changed Iron Patriot.
That's an easier pill to swallow.
It really is. So what else about Spider-Man? Anything? I'm excited. I can't wait.
Want him to be young. Don't want to see Doc Ock.
I never want to see the Goblin again. I don't want to see any of the traditional villains. Yeah. None of the Sinister Six. I would like to see...
I can go for a Chameleon.
No, there won't be. Nah, yeah. You could probably do a chameleon.
You could do a chameleon. That would be interesting.
That
you
could be a Hydra. Hydra guy.
I think a chameleon could be like a secondary villain in the movie. But he
is a Hydra guy. Remember they tied
he
that
was at some point. Yeah, but it's,
he was tied in.
Well, honestly, I think he'll face a non-Sony owned villain.
Oh, definitely. And that's what I'm saying. They can't really go King Daredevil.
Yeah. I still like Silverman.
I like Don Fortunato. I put that on the thing. He's just a mild guy. They could do a Black Cat.
Black Cat could be the villain.
And then they had like the flip, right? Yeah. Where she's actually working for a mob who double crossed her, like in Batman.
Like
Bendis thing that he did with her. Oh,
Jessica Drew.
And then at one point she didn't even know what agent she was because of the Skrull invasion. Yes, that's the Jessica Drew I want.
Also, Jessica Drew, hello. Yeah, Origin spins out of Hydra, who is the big thing right now.
Yes,
Hydra, who owned her rights, Sony. Who can we use now?
They did own that.
Yeah, they owned her.
Oh, see, I don't like.
Yeah,
that.
I didn't know that either until recently. But yes, they can use Spider-Man. Yeah.
Oh, Spider-Man. I'm stoked.
All right, what's next on the list for news?
Let's go to Legend of Zelda on Netflix. Yeah, that's a good idea. Because
that's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I read
If it's done well.
It's exciting news.
Well,
I heard about it on my Twitter feed.
Out of all the Nintendo properties, Legend of Zelda would be the easiest one to adapt into a live action.
It's got a lot of lore to it.
Yeah.
Because when they tried to do the Super Mario Brothers, while I did like the movie back then, looking back
there's
on it
gonna
now,
be another one.
Just,
For the 80s, it was a good movie.
Yeah.
But Zelda, they could really bring some special effects. The early 90s. TMNT, 80s, 90s.
Yeah.
I did a lot of drawing.
But a live action.
I enjoyed the movie in its cheesy, campy goodness.
Well,
Now, here's the thing, though. You have to ask yourself.
I still enjoy it in its cheesy, campy goodness.
Are they going to keep it? Correct according to the game.
No.
Hold on. The reason why I'm asking that is, if they're going to keep it according to the game, are they going to allow the sword to shoot out a sword?
No, they're not going to keep it according to the game.
The question I want to know is, are they going to let Link talk?
Yeah, are they going to let Link talk?
Definitely.
Yeah. But Link could be like a mute. That'd be interesting to watch.
It would be pretty boring.
Navi could do all the talking.
Because then it would just slash throughout the entire series.
Navi does do all the talking.
Dude, I think they could pull off a Game of Thrones style adventure.
Oh, absolutely.
With the fodder that is supplied by all these decades of Zelda games, dude. They could really do something amazing.
Now, which Zelda game do you think would be the best?
The great thing about Zelda is that it's very malleable. They can make they can make it fit whatever they want. All they need to have is Link, Zelda,
and a fairy.
A form of Ganondorf.
Yeah, a form.
And a fairy, maybe.
And the Triforce for Link the Quest after.
Yeah. You don't really need the sword. It's cool. The shield, maybe.
You can wait to get the sword.
Exactly.
You can have season two, he even hears about it.
Well, you can just get the boomerang and the shield.
But I think that's a lot of places they'll go. They'll go showing off these, kind of like the way Gotham's like, oh, here's Edward Nigma. Oh, here's Penguin.
Yeah.
I think what that show do is like, oh, here's a bomb. He uses a bomb. Oh, here's a boomerang.
Yeah, the flute. I will say this, though. If they are going to pick a game, if I had to pick one myself for them to do the TV series
A
Link to the Past.
Oh, I thought you were going to go with different games.
Well, I thought about the original.
Time travel is going to be difficult in a fantasy setting.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
I really like the Wind Waker. It almost had an anime feel to it,
It's going to be live action.
Beautiful
game.
Yeah,
so. Wind Waker is you get into a high budget Kadrona.
And that's the problem, because then you have to find islands or do a lot of CGI.
Yeah.
Did y'all ever watch Legend of Neil?
I saw it.
Legend of Neil.
It was pretty funny. It was alright.
It was awesome. Basically, guy's playing the original 8-bit Zelda.
Yeah.
Decides to pleasure himself while choking himself, passes out, and wakes up in the game.
Where is this at?
Legend of Neil.
The same thing with Castlevania. It's way scary.
Is it
It's
on the internet. Yeah,
there's a web series.
I swear, back when I was about, I think maybe 8 or 9 years old, I had the worst nightmare where I just sat up bolt right in my bed because I dreamt that I was playing Castlevania, the original Castlevania. I was at the last level where I was trying to fight Dracula, and all of a sudden the game paused, and I didn't pause it. Dracula turned to the side, looked right at me through the TV screen, jumped out, and bit me. And I was so freaked out. I couldn't go back to sleep.
Yeah, that game was scary. Like, yeah. As a kid. Oh, yeah. As a kid. That was like a scary game.
It was messed up.
But
yeah, The Legend of Zelda is going to be good. I'm anxious to see what tone they use, because you could really get carried away with wanting to make it
too lighthearted.
Yeah, too lighthearted. And
or too serious.
But it needs to have some grit to it.
It's got to be dark in places, but it can't just be dark.
Yeah, it's got to have a nice balance.
Yeah.
I do want... I'm sure everyone here has played Ocarina of Time. Yeah. The opening sequence with his mom.
Oh, and Epona. You have to throw a horse in there. Yeah.
That's like the best Link origin to me.
Yeah, because having him...
His mom, being a member of the Triforce.
We'll see. There's no telling where
because even if he
but
starts...
But it's a great intro to Link.
Even if he kind of starts out as kind of a teenager... Having him hoof it around everywhere will just get so boring.
I do like, as far as, like you said, I do like Link to the Past now.
And plus the...
Because, I mean, if you think about it, starts out your classic Dark and Stormy Night.
Yeah, exactly.
He goes to say. I mean, they could do.
And what's the first quote unquote that he gets in A Link to the Past?
I'd be happy with that too.
They should do their own original story.
I think that you could pull elements from each one.
Definitely, yeah. And that's what
you should do parts of each story.
You want to put in Easter eggs for fans in there.
Yeah,
but because that's who's going to watch it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but here's the thing you have to think about though, like from a production standpoint, if they go with trying to do it on a beach on an island, the cost for doing that is going to be way more than it would be just doing A Link to the Past and just building a set.
I doubt we'll see any Wind Waker boat action.
But that's all I'm saying.
No, I mean, you think like half the series could be in a one-room set replicating a dungeon, and we'd be fine with it.
Yeah.
Everyone remember the 90s. Everyone remembers Xenoware, Princess, and Hercules.
Yeah.
It'll be probably somewhere in between that and a more modern production.
Yeah, it'll be more modern production.
You'll see lots of things from different other
I'd
things.
Be awesome with that.
Yeah, I
love
would be
that
too.
Stuff. The Adventures of Hercules was great. Bruce Campbell on that show, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Oh, Ares?
It's the best.
So are we going to have Campbell?
Yeah. He played a little thief guy.
So are we going to have cameos from Mario and Metroid and Samus?
No, I think Super Smash Brothers, the movie.
Zelda game.
Now, but here's
God forbid I ever see that freaking scarecrow now.
Yeah, but
he'll
here's the
there.
Thing.
He'll be there. He'll be dancing. That'd be really creepy.
You know, speaking about cameos for this series, are they...
Or the moon. So it's up in the moon and it's just laughing. Like, oh, God.
Are they going to show Zelda as, you know, the classic damsel in distress? Are they gonna use her like they made her in the old cartoon series, The Legend of Zelda, where she was almost just as badass as Link and wanted to get out there and fight?
Well, they'll bring in, what's her name?
Sheik will definitely be in the story.
Well, here's the other thing. Like, the cartoon, it was all about Link trying to...
protect her and keep her under wraps a little bit.
It was all about him trying to, win the princess.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll see that.
Zelda's dad.
But she would always get herself in trouble, and he would have to bail her out while still trying to find the...
If I had to write a Zelda script, my story would be... Zelda, or Link, is destined to save the kingdom of Hyrule, who has been taken over by Ganondorf. And he's got to, quote-unquote, save the princess. But he's being trained by Sheik. And by the end of it, you find out that Sheik is the princess.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
I could go with that.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
All right,
that's Ocarina of Time, by the way.
It's exactly Ocarina of Time, and that's why I said it.
Yeah.
That's exactly the game.
Anyway, let's jump off.
Go ahead. Go on, Larry. Where do you want to go?
So, Jon Stewart now is quitting.
Daily Show.
And something that we've been getting our news so long from Colbert Report and The Daily Show. And a lot of the younger generation is definitely move to alternative media sources.
Yeah.
Just, I think, probably a lot of distrust of traditional news media.
That's what a lot of it is. Most of the news media, they don't cover anything real. You know, most of the time they fill it with bullshit that no one cares about. It's not real, real news.
That's selling point of news, the quote-unquote nightly news that's on for 30 minutes on three or four channels.
It's for advertising dollars.
Really good graphic novel by Jonathan Hickman.
Is the nightly news is just is the only reason those shows are on is the same reason that Saturday Night Live made it through the 90s or the 80s to the 90s. Is the only reason the Today Show is still on in the morning is because it's a tradition.
Yeah,
there is no news that happens on there. They end every story with, oh, look at this feel good story of a puppy got saved somewhere. Look while people are being, you know, yeah.
Look at this and like real serious news that we should know only gets like a 1 minute 30 second snippet, which is bullshit.
The reason the Colbert Report and the Daily Show were popular is because they took the news and satirized it. Eventually it became more of the news than the news because in looking for things to make fun of, comedy's always got to be on the edge of comedy. You know, that's where comedy lives, on the cutting edge.
That's what Bill Maher was doing back during Politically Incorrect.
And he still has a show.
Yeah, and he still has a show, Real Time with Bill Maher on HBO, but it's on HBO.
The kind of stuff Bill Maher does needs to be on HBO.
Well, true, but
HBO
I'm just
is
saying,
that
okay?
You can say it.
Yeah, you can say whatever the hell you want and nobody's going to get in trouble. Bill Maher says whatever the hell he wants and doesn't care if he gets in trouble.
Yeah,
that's why he didn't have that show Politically Incorrect.
Yeah, I know.
Because he said things the right wing is saying now. We'll get off that. But anyway, I have a problem with The Daily Show and The Colbert Report going away.
I do too.
The Colbert, no, and I have a deeper, more profound problem.
Well, I mean, in all fairness, Elie Kalon is writing Spider-Man.
Yeah. Well, hold on.
That's the head.
These two
for the
shows
show
have become. These two shows have become responsible for divvying out news, while riding on a wave of success that was only created because they were able to talk smack on the news outlets that are irresponsible.
True.
So in a way, them leaving. And leaving this vacuum is irresponsible not in the same exact way that Fox News and CNN and all these people they make fun of are, but it's still very irresponsible. And I know Jon Stewart will sit up there in his chair and say, you know, I never meant for this to be, you know, what it is, the news that people, you know, as popular as it is, as a news source. And he even thinks it's silly that it is, and I do too in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But that still does not take away from the fact that it is.
That he is responsible journalist.
Exactly.
Even though he's been a comedian doing
even more, more responsible than the people who say they are doing the news. Brian Williams.
Yeah.
Okay?
That's what I've mentioned John Oliver a lot.
Exactly.
And he's definitely kind of stepped up as a good place to covering actual issues.
But, if you want to buy HBO,
But here's the thing,
He always does his main feature on YouTube. And I really like that.
But people aren't going to seek that out. People will lay in bed at night on their way to go to sleep and turn on Comedy Central and fall asleep.
But here was the other thing. If you look in the actual news and stuff that he has had a pretty dramatic effect.
He has.
He did the FCC video.
Yeah.
And now it's about net neutrality and regulation has came out about it.
Yeah.
He's, what was the other latest one? I'm trying to think.
Pills and pharma.
No. I mean, that was the one he did last night. But, he's done a couple of big things that have actually brought change.
It's easy to be.
Student loans.
It's easy to be.
Oh, payday lenders. Yeah, they're cracking down on payday lenders, which that was all brought to light.
Because of him.
Need those kind of journalists.
It's easy to be an investigative journalist when the big journalism, quote-unquote journalism companies, aren't doing investigative. CNN last year shut down their investigative journalism.
And they
section.
Used to be the front of investigative journalism.
Exactly. Look at 2020.
CNN has always been a military things.
CNN.
More or less.
No, yeah. They are actually worse, established in part by the military.
Yeah, and I get that. But that's all I'm saying. They used
and we're
to
sold
to
Turner because Turner had the super stations and he was able to broadcast.
Well, they still had, yes. I mean,
but anyway, if you look at like ABC, right, 2020...
NBC, CBS.
Well, Nightline. These all used to be investigative reporters. Now what do they do? To catch a predator.
Yeah.
Fear-mongering nonsense instead of, I don't know, cracking down on anything. Yeah. There's so much more news out there.
The best source of news is sports. No, I'm serious.
He's got a point. If it's big news, SportsCenter talks about it.
All right, well, all right. I'll give you that one.
And talk about non-biased.
Boom. Yeah, they don't give a damn because they don't know. Yeah, they don't know.
Report as it happens.
And look, if I actually want to watch news, I either watch Daily Show, which unfortunately is now going away. But
The Daily Show is not going away. Jon Stewart's going away.
Yeah, but Larry Wilmore, who does the nightly show directly after him now, he does a lot of good news.
He has not found an audience, but he does do a lot of great stuff. A lot of people don't like him. He's got a really dour demeanor where it's very like it's almost like his humor is supposed to be dry.
Yeah, I know.
But it's not.
Yeah, I know. But at the end of the show, he always does keep it 100. Where he poses a question to people, it's like, look, you have to keep it 100% when you answer this question. You can't bullshit. Otherwise, these people are going to let you know you're full of shit.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that.
He just needs
that.
To find an audience.
Now, but I want to watch a responsible news outlet that still does investigative journalism the way they used to do it, I will either watch the Young Turks on the internet on YouTube or, with Cenk Uygur, or I will watch Al Jazeera on cable network or Pivot TV that does Take Part Live and techno and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, Al Jazeera is okay. You have to take everything. Well, you have to take everything with any news organization
with a grain of salt.
But especially when it comes to Middle Eastern stuff with Al Jazeera.
Yeah, true.
But
at least they keep it real.
They do, and they cover it a lot more than they cover it here on our big news stations.
Well, the thing is,
they don't cover it any.
Yeah. Well,
if you look at Al Jazeera versus traditional news, you're talking about two different conflicting points. So somewhere in the middle, the truth will lie.
Yeah, but at least they are responsible.
What do you mean?
They put reporters out in the field in the middle of gunfire and that kind of
stuff.
Well,
you know,
the real story where
there's other
where CBS, NBC, and
you gotta think
and
a lot
other
of these
Sky News had a reporter just kidnapped recently.
And I get that.
The BBC they put
Sky News is owned by Fox.
Yeah,
it's a Fox News subsidiary.
Yeah, but there's a Fox News. Really, I don't even call it Fox News. They don't do responsible news broadcasting. They people should just call it the Fox propaganda.
Do you think it's responsible for Al Jazeera to post that Al Qaeda sends?
Huh?
Do you think it is responsible for Al Jazeera to place stuff, propaganda messages that Al Qaeda sends?
I mean, you got to think.
I do not think it is responsible.
They are promoting their own viewpoints to a degree.
Exactly.
And you just got to face that. Every news media outlet or news source is going to put their own degree. That is not responsibility in the context of the press. The press's responsibility is to tell you everything that happens.
Yes, I
it doesn't matter what spin
you,
they
but,
put on.
But here's the thing that I'm saying, though. I agree with you on that. But when it comes to these videos that ISIS and Al Qaeda put out and whatnot, I do not agree that they should be playing that on the air. What I am saying is that they should not play them on the air.
All right,
but
this suddenly got all too... All right, I'm going to stop. It's got way too deep.
All right. Yeah.
This has got way too deep. Let's talk about porn.
All right.
The best source
porn.
At all is
porn.com.
All right.
Speaking of
porn, I got
news.
Oh,
God. All right, we got porn.
No! Start Outright Geekery to talk about that.
Wait, no,
that is on the website and other WordPress tumblers. No, I'm not going.
Bringing it down. Bringing it down. Killing the mic. Bringing it down. Bringing it down.
No.
Bringing it down.
You're too loud to sell comics over here.
Yes.
Bringing it down. All right. Bring it down. All right.
Miley Cyrus came out with a video where, you know, she's got tape over her nipples and she's got black stuff running down her chest or chin. And she's like, you know, sticking her tongue out. Got big, super huge fake eyelashes on.
You lost me at Miley Cyrus.
Hold on. Just give me a minute.
Well, go on.
All right. So she did this small little snippet video and it's on YouTube, but she's debuting it for the New York City Foreign Film Awards or Foreign Film Festival or whatever, and it's, you know, I think it's stupid looking, but if that's what she wants to do, then it's power to her.
Yeah, man, she did.
But she's trying to
She did Wrecking Ball. It can't be any worse than that.
Yeah, I know, but she's trying to bring it around as, you know, to try and show people that porn is actually an art form. It's not just porn.
Actually, hold on. By definition, porn is porn. Porn is not art.
No, no.
Art can be pornographic.
No, are we talking legally? Because legally, the Supreme Court has said, I know pornography when I see it. The same thing can be said for art, even if we're not speaking legally. I know art when I see it. It's in the eye of the beholder. To one guy, it might be porn. To another guy, it might be art. To one guy, the Statue of David might be porn.
Exactly.
And that's art.
And yet that's... And yet
Kanye West.
I do not want to talk about that douchebag.
See, well, he is officially an artist because I know an artist when I see it, and I see Kanye West.
Yeah, but
I thought you were gonna say he was porn.
Not an artist.
No. Hold on. And what makes him not an artist?
He's a douchebag.
So is Pablo Picasso. So is Vincent Van Gogh. And they were a-holes. Guess what, guys? Most artists are.
We're not debating whether or not he's an artist. We're just talking about how much I don't mind if he's an a-hole.
Yeah, I don't mind if he's an a-hole.
I think it's hilarious.
We're in America. That's who gets famous.
Guys.
A-holes.
Artists can be a-holes, but there is a difference between being an asshole and running up on stage.
Well, you don't have to worry about that anymore.
Yeah. Look, there's a difference between that and running up on stage in the middle of a fresh young singer rookie taking her first award.
You want to talk about an a-hole? Drive around Hendersonville and ask anybody who went to high school with
him. Can I just say this? There's a difference between doing that and then just this past.
I hear is actually really nice though, Kesha.
Yeah, I heard Kesha's really nice. All right, about Taylor Swift, dude. All right. Beyonce's album was better than Taylor Swift. Just because he wanted to come up and say it,
guys,
that
look,
can make him
you know,
an
if they didn't
but...
want these moments in the Grammys, they would have a security guard there at the edge of the stage.
Can I finish what I'm trying to say? Not at all. What I'm saying is that the way he handled that situation, could he have been, you know, reasonable and polite and just let her have her moment instead of running up on stage and being a complete dick?
Nobody knows who you are if you sit back and don't say shit. It's not
It
wasn't about Taylor Swift.
He called himself Jesus.
You have no idea how much more popular.
Just this past awards session, he acted like he was going to do it again. Yeah. At some point, if I was the guy that was on stage ready to accept that reward, and I think it was Ed Sheeran who was accepting the award.
Beck has become way more popular in the last week.
But look,
than he has been all year.
But look, here's the thing.
So it's Kanye.
If I was the guy, if I was the guy on that stage and I was about ready to receive an award, and he came running up on the stage, I would knock that motherfucker.
And it would be the best Grammys ever.
Who cares, Beck loves Kanye. Beck agreed with Kanye. In fact, he said personally. Yeah, I think he was right. I thought Beyonce was good.
Have you heard Beyonce's album?
It's incredible.
It's amazing. Have you heard Beck's album?
It's boring.
It's not good.
You ever watch a dog sleep? And he starts running a little bit, and then all of a sudden he farts?
That's Beck's album. That's actually, you're really close, dude.
Sounds kind of like the cover of Odelay.
I like Beck.
Yeah, me too.
But here's the thing, guys.
He's a great musician. He did everything on that album. He played every instrument. He did all the arranging. He did everything. Beyonce did nothing but sing.
And you know what?
And it was still a better album.
Here's what I'm going to say. So last year,
and the music
Oscars
video was bullshit.
Well, hold on.
No, there's...
Hold on. So last year,
yeah,
Leonardo DiCaprio was up for an Oscar for Wolf of Wall Street. By all means, it was not his best role, but he is a great actor. He didn't win. Beck, up for Grammy Album of the Year. He's done a lot of great albums.
Not the best album.
But that is not his best album. No, he did not deserve the Grammy for that album. No. Maybe previous album.
Beyonce so did.
Beyonce is such a good album.
Weird Al Yankovic got a Grammy for best comedy album.
Yeah, he wins that every year he puts an album out. Yeah. Yeah, it's like his 15th one.
What was he running up against?
Exactly. Well, yeah, comedian, no, spoken yeah. word.
But
comedians.
He wasn't allowed to give a speech.
Yeah, who? That's the thing. He was not allowed to give a speech.
But Eminem wasn't allowed to give a speech. They didn't even give the rap album out on camera. They didn't even put it on television.
Yeah, but Chris Hardwick last night on a show at midnight on Comedy Central had Weird Al come out, and he was still in the talks with his Grammy, and he was about to give a speech. He was like, oh, sorry, we have to start the show. And he was like, what? You're not going to let me give a speech? Nice. But it was kind of all in fun.
Yeah. I'm a big hip-hop rap fan. Never televised
the rap.
Well, we can do it all.
Yeah, well,
you know they do them before.
Have you heard that whole Have you heard the whole Marshall Mathers LP too?
Yeah.
Alright.
It's amazing.
It's just okay.
Yeah, well look.
It's just okay. Yeah, Childish Gambino's rap easily, album was much
it's,
better.
No, it's easily Eminem's best rap album.
It is his best rap album.
Well, if he's won four other Grammys, he needs to win this one too.
Yeah, but here's
it's easily
here's
his best.
That, I don't even bother watching.
I don't even
want to
get
it. I watch
that
it for the performances.
I don't even watch it for that. And it's you want to know why?
And okay, let's go to a subject change.
He does that because you say, "Oh, can I finish?" Never say, "Can I finish?" Because Larry will never let me finish.
You all learn that lesson.
But I like. Why don't you like the performances?
I don't watch the Grammys. Period. Just because. I'm a metalhead. I like heavy metal.
Yeah.
I like rock and roll. All they do is give out Grammys and awards for pop.
It is for pop.
I mean, really, the only thing you want to see is the performances.
Dude, the
Grammys
is
just a bunch of people talking
about the metal and the rock Grammys.
Well, they opened it with AC/DC this year.
Yes, AC/DC I will watch, but short of that, no. You know,
the Grammys is an award show for whatever songs happen to be on a 12-year-old girl's iPod at that time.
And that's the problem. Because
I like some of those songs.
And you'd be
They're popular for a reason. It's pop music for a reason,
but
guys.
Look, you know what? If I want to listen to something that has a like that isn't heavy metal or rock and roll, I listen to blues, and that's it.
But here's the thing, man.
Grammys isn't your
if show. If I want to watch sports, I'm not going to watch the Super Bowl. I don't want to watch a 4-hour commercial, but people love it.
Yeah, it's the people who watch the Super Bowl don't care about sports.
I watch
they
the
care
Super
about commercials.
And Katy Perry. And Katy Perry.
Yes.
That's what I watch.
They'll spend 4 hours watching 20 minutes
of Power Rangers. And the Sharks got another job. ESPN has cast them
for a commercial.
Some commercial. I thought that was pretty good, yeah.
Oh, well. Sharks.
Is this thing still recording?
Yes!
The light isn't on the microphone.
What else, man? Well, it's recording.
Yeah, it's recording. Right,
well, what
I was
going to
say, Walking Dead.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
All right, here's all there really is.
Hate on it,
no.
Man. You're going to be hate on it.
I thought it was a good episode.
All right.
Okay. It was okay.
Let me just say this. Okay. Really, this is one of those episodes, if you're watching it on DVD, you can just skip it.
Yeah.
I mean, realistically, it was a pretty episode.
Watch the first 10 minutes and the last 10 minutes, and you're good. Yeah.
There was only one line of dialogue in the whole movie that had anything relevant. And guess what? It's already stuff you already know.
We're going to D.C.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
There you go.
Really?
We've decided.
We're going to D.C.
Which, guess what?
Away.
You knew that at the end of the last episode.
I didn't realize they were that far north.
Yeah.
They didn't totally skip them going through like at least two states.
Yeah, it's like are
they started in Atlanta.
Yeah, they started in Atlanta.
But
are they in Tennessee or
no,
they
they're 100 miles from D.C. He was in just north of
they'd be in Virginia or
Raleigh,
West,
I think
or,
you
yeah,
said.
Or,
That was them. Drove to Virginia.
But they were like hundreds of miles away from what's her name back at base on the walkie-talkies.
Carol.
He was talking to Carol, testing the range, and it was like hundreds of miles they were going, right?
No, they were traveling behind them.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you just never saw them in the secondary car.
No, that's cool. Yeah. I understand. That's a good idea to keep the group two different.
Yeah, they were traveling ahead, and, you know, because he said, what's the range on these? 5 miles.
Oh, okay. Yeah. My bad.
So,
I wasn't paying that close attention. Oh, so, Matt, that Tyrese.
I wasn't even going to say it. I don't care. But
if you
okay.
ain't seen it, I'm sorry.
All right.
Come on.
So, I started out saying,
now, made it that long.
It is actually a big right, surprise.
Right, no, and it is. And, yeah, you know, so. Well, and they introduced another black guy on the show, yeah. So Kirkman had to kill one.
That's just so, and, yeah, that's so racist.
That's such a stereotype.
It's so true, though.
I mean, it. Looking right. at everything that's happened,
the next
right.
episode
it yeah. is true.
And just no, just to test this theory, just think, I'm like, if I'm the only guy that's thinking this, am I crazy? So I Google black characters on The Walking Dead.
T-Dog.
And the first article that comes up with is a blog called Nerds of Color. Oh, and they're talking about
a good blog,
oh, I might have to check that.
And they're talking about the black man problem on The Walking Dead. It's all about how they kill one, right? So I know I'm not the only one who's noticed this.
That's funny. Yeah.
Yeah. But what about Bob?
Yeah, the comic book is even worse. No, they have two black guys on the show.
What about Bob?
They're allowed to have two black guys.
How many black females are they able to have? As many as you
females
want.
Females don't count.
There's only one female, though.
No, there's,
so there's two.
No.
There's Tyrese's oh, yeah. sister and...
Yeah, Tyrese's and sister is shown. Shown. All right, yeah, my bad.
Yeah.
I don't remember her name.
Yeah. They upped the black guy quotient yeah, from the comic book.
Yeah. Three because the pastor, you know, is.
Oh,
now.
Yeah.
No.
And
the
so it's
Ty, and now it's Noah and the preacher.
And Bob died and Ty...
Then yeah, you they introduced the preacher, so Bob now, died!
So now there's two black characters.
There's going to be so two bad. Black guys. Yeah, alright, the when Morgan be? Shows up, they're going to kill Noah.
Right?
Noah should die. I don't like him at
all. Fairness, yeah, guys, Noah's it kind is of a, way yeah. worse. If you read the comic book, it's worse because it's going
oh, yeah.
one at a time.
Yeah.
And it's going to stay that way.
Awful that way.
Until the, and let's keep it real. The show is supposed to be based in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot more black
there's
people.
A, just a higher percentage of black people in Atlanta
oh
than they show in the show.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the truth.
We're
yeah.
quoting a blog called Geeks of Color.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I mean, yeah. and you
we,
even mentioned.
Us as white people, we know what we're talking about.
There's a severe lack.
You were
talking about. There's a severe. Mere lack of black zombies.
Yeah, I know, but look, I think the reason why they kind of do the show, and I'm just saying this kind of as a joke, is they are under either the mistaken assumption or the correct assumption that because black people don't necessarily believe in zombies, they are not going to be able to protect themselves while
do
crazy while crazy
zombies?
White people believe
right.
in zombies.
I think that, okay. I think we went from discussion with that comment to we may be bordering on racism.
Yeah.
Here.
I don't think it's bordering on racism.
Yeah.
I think we
segue. Segue.
Black Vortex was terrible.
It was god
awful. Sam
really?
Humphries
yeah.
did not write.
Right, hold on. Let's talk about
it. You're saying that I was saying it as a joke.
Don't be no racist joke.
No, it wasn't racist. It was racist. It was racist. It was racist. It was racial. There's a difference. Not in this day. Not in the United States. As a white guy, you're not able to say either or. Let's drop that. All right, so the phrase of color refers to black people. What do you, I mean, is there, what would be the opposite of that for white people? Caucasian.
No,
but people of colorlessness?
No, the color of white neon.
You're the thing about
people.
It is,
you don't get all these extra words. You are just
like you're like trying to figure out a new name.
Vigorously challenge?
You're like trying to find a new name for the word chair.
You guys get one.
Chair already has a word.
One.
We don't need a new word for
Hispanic,
chair.
Latino.
The color of neon or the color of crackers?
You guys are just white. You're just white.
I can take Caucasian. I can't have Caucasian?
No, you're just white.
Damn it.
I don't like Caucasian.
Why?
Yeah, Caucasian is just
it's
weird.
Too
it's
too much.
It's a lot of syllables.
It's too politically correct.
It's like one of those words. It's like the opposite of moist.
Yeah.
Moist is like a word, ew.
Yeah.
But Caucasian. It's like a word I kind of like.
Say,
I like saying it. It rolls off my tongue.
No, it,
just
Caucasian.
Say white.
It sounds like
no,
a type of
no,
nut.
No.
Anyways.
I am not
black,
white.
Okay, wait. We're done with race. Let's talk
about
Black
Vortex. Black Vortex. The thing that we're supposed to be talking about.
Bendis.
Brian, no,
are y'all doing it?
Sam Humphries.
Are y'all doing a new Geek of the Week comment podcast?
Let's talk about Black Vortex first.
So Black Vortex is this event. That Brian Michael Bendis and Sam Humphries.
Isn't Marguerite Bennett on that too? Who's writing X-Men right now? Because that's part of it.
G. Willow Wilson. She's writing just
but,
X-Men.
But
anyway,
it's an event that combines Guardians of the Galaxy and X-Men.
And all new X-Men.
All new
X-Men. Oh, that's right. All
and
new
and
X-Men.
And Cyclops.
And Nova.
and Nova.
But Sam Humphries and Brian Michael Bendis are writing all of those books. Isn't Sam Humphries writing the Nova book?
No. Gary Dugan's writing the
Nova. Oh, that's right.
Because it's actually good.
Okay, yeah. So what happens? The Black Vortex is like the mirror that Harry Potter hangs out in front of.
Basically. For the Marvel Universe, it's a mirror that turns you into half celestial.
255
flyers? It's a celestial mirror.
Oh, wow.
And the
it's given to them by a celestial.
By celestial.
Why?
Because Celestial's a dick.
He is. He sounds.
No, always you go to some random planet, and it's where the Celestial was choosing to be worshipped at.
Okay.
And he gives these people who worship them this mirror, this Black Vortex. And apparently it gives you your darkest power. And they get it while somebody's trying to sell it to Thane.
Oh, that's a bad idea.
That's a bad idea. Thane is Thanos' kid. Thanos. And he is Thanos.
I thought he was still on Earth.
No, he was in space ever since Infinity.
Infinity. Yeah, he skips out after he killed Thanos.
I missed that part.
Almost killed Thanos. So he has heard.
Oh, and then he went in the toaster oven. Thanos went in the toaster oven.
Yes, yes.
That's right.
So he has heard
right.
word that Thanos
so
is
he was
back.
Done baking and now he's ready.
Yes. Ding! So he heard Thanos is back. He wants protection from his father.
Oh, well, his dad's busy.
Yeah, but
Ultimate
last
Earth.
Time he saw his father, he was trying to cut his head off.
Yeah.
Remember, none of the children of Thanos can live. Thane is the last living child.
Well, Thanos really doesn't have his priorities straight, does he?
Thanos has got other things going on. Thane doesn't know that. That's the point. So Thane thinks he
Thanos
needs
is saving the universe.
Sort of.
By killing all his worlds and the incursions.
Yeah. Mostly making tributes to his wife. Whatever.
Go ahead. Oh, good for him.
Yeah, good for him. If you really think about what he's doing for the Cabal,
you're
it's
right.
really all about death.
Go for him. Good for him. Go ahead. Go ahead. Oh,
specifically, the last issue of New Avengers where you see him in the Ultimate Universe, he says something to death because he lives.
Oh, cool.
Hey, you didn't notice that?
When
they
oh,
come
yeah,
out
yeah,
the
yeah,
other
yeah,
side
yeah,
of you
yeah,
so
yeah.
soon.
Yeah.
Too much
yeah.
sweet. Anyway, so they see Thane. They steal this thing.
Good writing.
It is. Yeah, Hickman.
Yeah, but go ahead. Black
Sam
Vortex.
Humphries writing, the banter is terrible. It's just awful. It gets confusing. The issue is thick. A lot happens.
It's the alpha issue.
And it
right?
Goes,
Black Vortex alpha number one.
It goes back and forth.
I hate how Marvel does that.
They do
the
bookends. They do the bookends.
I hate that.
They did
it
on that
so
last
much.
X-Men event with the Future Brotherhood.
Yes.
That was an okay event.
That was an okay event.
Yeah.
That event was better well because there was only one writer.
Yes.
This event, however, Sam Humphries has no idea what he's doing.
To be fair, we're only one issue into it.
It's a double issue.
It still has room to breathe.
Yeah.
And we only read Sam Humphries' idea of it. Yes. We haven't seen Brian Michael Bendis's, which I still don't have much faith in. But
I skipped it from the solicit. I wasn't going
to
get it.
It's skippable. It's skippable. Honestly, nothing happens in this issue. They halfway explain the Black Vortex. They halfway explain...
Well, they got to have some mystery around
No, but they cram a lot. It's a thick issue.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of crap that just happens. That's totally unnecessary. For some reason, Star-Lord and Kitty are on a date, messing with his dad, plundering people, since Kitty decides to plunder with the space pirate. I get they're dating, but it feels totally out of Kitty's character.
Forced.
Yeah, it feels very forced. The dialogue feels forced.
Maybe she's slumming it with the bad boys.
Yeah, but it's first off, Kitty's in charge of the all-new X-Men. Leaves them to go to space without taking any of them with her.
And where does she leave them?
On Earth with...
At Cyclops'
place. With Alana Rasputin.
Okay.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, she's the best babysitter you could imagine. Inferno.
Yes.
Love her.
Yes. So, already terrible idea.
Yeah.
I don't know when they got back from the Ultimate Universe, but that's already happened apparently in this story.
Yeah, I'm not going to get that. I'm going to skip it.
It's skippable. It was a rough start to what looks like a very lackluster. The last time Guardians and All New Met was awesome. Trial of Jean Grey was awesome.
Do you think maybe they're just doing an event just to cap off the Guardians?
I think they're trying to push Sam
before
Humphries.
Secret Wars, you know?
I think, yeah.
Because it's only going to be 2 months and then Secret Wars will be out.
Yeah.
No, it really does feel like they want Sam Humphries. They've been trying to make Sam Humphries happy for like a minute. I'm sorry, he's not a good writer. It's like Colin Bunn. They try to give
Colin
him
Bunn's
big...
hit or miss for me, man. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Colin Bunn's okay.
Mostly miss.
At best.
At best,
he's okay. Colin Bunn's a whole bunch of good ideas with very lackluster.
Yeah,
execution.
We were talking about him earlier. Yeah.
And they both
to the
have
Green
the
Lantern
same.
Book.
Yeah, they both have the same MO. Take over a book after a really good writer was just touching.
Yeah.
Sam Humphries took over Ultimates after Hickman left. it really dropped off. And it got canceled.
And that's such a bad thing to do to an up-and-coming writer. Say, oh, we got this superstar writer. He's going to leave a book. Here, you take it over.
Because well, I mean, it's an opportunity, though. Yeah, if they can't, it is. If they can't rise to the occasion, then maybe they should.
But that's still saying, hey,
but let's be honest,
you know, you want to play basketball, Michael Jordan's going to sit out. You can jump in for him,
well, no one's
going
to expect him to be Michael Jordan, but he should at least get a triple-double. Right? Every once in a while.
Yeah. But in all fairness,
he should be able to play defense.
How many books has Cullen Bunn and Sam Hawkins capped off in the last
A lot of people
Magneto was fun.
Magneto
would
fun.
Expect
that. Remember how good Venom was when Remender was writing it? And then totally dropped off
and it was bad.
The second Cullen Bunn touched it.
Yeah. Let's talk about DC news. We haven't talked about anything about DC.
They
got 24
new
books coming out.
24
new books. They've dropped New 52 because they're not going to be producing 52 books anymore.
The canon of the New 52 still exists.
It will still go on.
It will still exist.
But they will finally finally take our idea. Yeah, you should probably stop calling it the New 52.
Well, they painted themselves into a corner with it. They weren't able to release new number ones the way Marvel has. No. If you look at the top 10 books of last year, most of them were either number one issues. I think the Wolverine books were in there because those came out as a weekly book.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a, I think it's, excuse the numbers because I think most of those numbers come from the fact that shops don't know how to order.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how to order number one, so they're going to order more. And then you get variant covers in there that help, you know, sales. And
right,
by having the 52, which was an ongoing thing, DC wasn't able to put out number ones for.
Yeah, I mean, are these numbers
the main character? Sure, they put out Clarion number one and shit like
how
that.
How many of these copies are sitting in back issue bins and everything
not.
Like?
No, it's not sold to the consumer. It's sold to the retailer.
Yeah, but I don't even understand like the whole point of variant cover. Sometimes now, look, I get that variant artwork is good to have, and while I do agree that there should be one, a maximum of two variant covers for a book. I do not agree with having unlimited amounts of variant covers because this book that you're reading, the Darth Vader book, they're sitting over there on the table. It's nine different covers. What the
fuck? We didn't even get them all.
Okay, all right. Everybody knows why variant covers are bad, the 90s.
Yeah.
Variant covers are good for several reasons. The first reason is it gives consumers a choice.
Yeah, it gives consumers. All right, and I get
that. The second reason is it helps retailers make a buck.
Yeah.
Now, Mark may have to order 20, 50, even 100 copies for some of these books, but he's able to sell those variant covers for $10, $15, $20 a pop. And he sells them.
They're not what they used to be. Whereas, you know, a 1 in 25 would be $25. Now a 1 in 25 would be $8. Yeah. Which is still enough.
It's double the usually double.
It's enough to save us from three books we didn't sell. You know, so there is added bonus to it. But yes, they do go too far.
Okay, this one issue of Darth Vader is worth a cover price of $5.
All right.
If I take this home, keep it in pristine condition for 50 years, it'll probably still be worth $5. But if I get one of those variant covers where there was only 1,000 of them made worldwide and I buy it for $25 in 50 years, it's going to be worth a lot more. It goes up in price. It is an investment. You don't know if the investment's going to go up or down.
Or if it's even going to pay off.
No. Those variant covers
that
you buy for
$20
in 5 years, I will be able to sell it for $50. Guaranteed. I see it happen every day.
Right.
On Comic Collector Live, I see it happen on eBay every single day.
All right, look, I can understand that because, like me, look, I have to look at it from a motorcycle perspective.
Go ahead.
Well, I look at it from that perspective.
Okay.
It's the only thing that kind of makes sense to me because Triumph Motorcycles, they put out a very limited run of motorcycles. They just say, this is how many we're going to make for the year. And that's going to be it.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes they will, like, reboot their line and, you know, make another couple extra if there's a big demand for it.
Yeah.
But, like, if there's a special color for the tins, like for the tank and the fenders, where that one particular
style. That would be more
style,
expensive because it's more rare.
Yeah.
It's rare. It's called supply and demand.
Yeah, people are wanting
it's basic
it more.
Capitalism.
I get
Economics 101.
I get it from that perspective.
Yes.
But what I'm You know, what I'm saying is...
You just don't like the idea of it because the meat in the middle is the same. Why are you paying $10 more for different skin?
Well, not that. It's what's on the inside that counts. So many different covers.
No. Darth Vader, number one, is a very special issue. It's the first time Darth Vader's ever had a solo issue.
All right, I didn't know that.
And it's the first book in, or it's the first issue in a run from a major publisher. It doesn't matter if it's Squirrel Girl. Squirrel Girl number one's got, what, four different variants? If it's a number one, it's going to have variants because it's a popular item.
All right, I didn't know that.
But Star Wars number two came out. It had, what, three variants? Four variants? Star Wars number one had 65 variants worldwide.
Mark was telling me that earlier. And I asked him, like, 60 covers? What the hell?
But Star Wars number one sold over 1 million copies, the first comic book to do so in 20-plus years. So
the other thing about variants, and everyone else at this table knows I absolutely hate variants.
I don't mind variants.
I don't like variants.
You don't have to buy them, Jules. You don't have to buy them.
I'm actually going to defend them in this.
Yeah.
It is a way for a lot of people who get the original cover can sell, and the variant's a little more expensive, but it keeps you from getting the second printing. A lot of people.
I don't mind second printings either. If you're just getting them for the meat inside,
you're just buying it for the story, get the second printing.
Yeah, but you got to wait longer.
I do, actually.
The other thing, the variant keeps you from waiting.
That's true.
There are some variants I've bought just because I really liked the cover art.
Yeah. Like the artwork.
And it's
Scotty Young variants are a big deal because Scotty Young is a great artist. He's got an awesome design, eye for design.
Most variants are artists who no longer can do interior art.
Or do interior art, but
very rarely.
Jenny Frizzin is a good example. She only does cover artists, and they are the best covers every time she does one.
Is a personal favorite of mine.
Yeah, but
phenomenal artist. You can't. His interior work it takes him too long,
and you can't buy it anymore. He doesn't do it anymore.
And look, and I get everything you guys are saying, and I agree with a lot of it.
Yeah.
The reason why I mainly get trade paperbacks as opposed to, you know...
You get all the variants in the trade.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You can get all the variant artwork. You can see all of it. You can get multiple books inside of one book, and you're probably going to pay about $5 to $6 less.
I can't wait.
By getting a trade paperback.
Yeah, like Apollo is what you wait.
You wait.
And that's
especially
why,
if
and
you're
that's
getting
why
the New 52 DC stuff.
Oh, you wait
forever.
At least the Marvel trade comes out right after the last issue.
Marvel trade comes out the day before.
And seeing, Image, you know, they're writing a story for trade. You know, they do the lower print runs and stuff like that anyway.
And they have great introductory prices on their first volumes and single issues.
And I've started getting the New 52 trade paperbacks for The Flash and Green Lantern. I haven't read them yet, but I'm just getting them so I can just read all of it in one shot and binge on it.
You're
going
to get disappointed to the end.
Don't give me spoilers.
I'm not so much going to be disappointed.
Yeah, in Green Lantern.
Definitely.
Flash is worth the art.
Image and reboot. It has been announced they are rebooting Spawn.
What?
250 issues.
Yes.
Paul Jenkins has agreed to take on the Spawn reboot. I love Paul Jenkins.
I don't mind Paul Jenkins. I have a problem with Spawn.
It's not the 90s anymore. Spawn's gone.
Spawn, and exactly, but...
I used to love Spawn.
He's always just okay to me.
He was really big when comics were really big because he was like one of those first characters that really took off at Image. And everyone could say, no, look, this company is for real. I understand the importance of the character to the line. But if you look at the line now... It has nothing to do with anything Spawn.
And I used to have the number four issue. I paid about $80 for that book.
Cover price.
Well, I mean,
I
bought
the whole first 24 issues.
Oh, nice. That's probably $300-$400.
Yeah,
bucks.
I know. It's a lot of money. I'll sell them in like
when it reboots. When they do a new movie.
Yeah.
I really like the anime they did.
Yeah.
That covered the first few issues. Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah.
But, no, the bigger, to me, is Paul Jenkins jumping on a monthly book again. That's a superhero.
I think
superhero is a bigger term.
It doesn't matter if he's late.
No, exactly.
The people who read Spawn will read Spawn.
Wait forever for the books. Yeah.
But are you going to jump on Spawn with Paul Jenkins?
I love Paul Jenkins.
So you are?
Oh, yeah. Because it's Paul Jenkins. Paul Jenkins wrote the best Inhumans book you will ever read. If they don't base it on... The new movie isn't based on his Inhumans run. They're stupid. I'm unintelligent.
I don't know who you're really talking about when you're saying Paul Jenkins. Is he a writer or is he an artist?
He's a writer.
All right, he's a writer.
Pretty sure Paul Jenkins' writing could go with any artist. Revelations came out a year ago. Humberto Ramos is not known for the most captivating of art as far as a noir story goes.
That was like my favorite limited
edition. That was my favorite limited edition book. Because his writing is so heartfelt. And characters like Sam and Twitch, which is a Paul Jenkins book he wrote years ago, that came out of Spawn.
Now, here's a question I have. If Paul Jenkins is doing the writing, who would you guys pick to do the artwork?
There's a lot of talk because the second biggest artist to ever come out of Spawn is currently leaving the book he's working on now, which is Greg Capullo. Greg Capullo drew the Spawn everybody really knows. Todd McFarlane.
He can't leave.
He is. He's already announced he's leaving.
Batman?
Yeah.
And who's going to take over with Scott Snyder?
I don't know. Scott Snyder needs off that damn book. He's leaving after 40. Before Convergence.
Well, look, the reason why I asked that question. Over in the anime section over here, the Street Fighter books.
Yeah.
You know, Joey Mad. Mad can't do it.
Yeah, for Ibuki and Chun-Li, those books, the Legends books.
Joey Mad. The Chun-Li
Legends book. I love the artwork. It was so good.
He cannot get a book out on time.
That's why he does things like that, because he doesn't have to be
Quintessential Street Fighter artist, though.
Yeah.
When you think of Street Fighter artist,
they really based the new games on his design.
Yeah. On the cabinets in Japan is his art.
Yeah. But, and that's the question I want to ask. Do you think that if he worked on the Spawn books, that it would really take the art over the top?
I think it would,
but you'd only get the book once every three months.
Yeah, you get five issues a year. You get five issues in one year. Oh, you might get five out. If he did nothing else but Spawn, yes, he could probably get him out. But he doesn't. He'd have to be living in my garage because it's not going to pay him enough. No. Not enough people buy Spawn.
Why would he have to live in your garage?
Because he's not going to make any money.
Do you
just
want to
molest him and just go, please?
Because he can live in my garage for pictures of Chun-Li and Ryu. You know what I mean?
There's a lot of talk about Greg Capullo.
I don't know if I like that idea.
We'll see. That's how he made his name.
I don't like Spawn relaunching. I think it's stupid. I think it's a silly idea. I don't mind it, but I think it's a silly idea.
But it is new. Image is always paying itself on never relaunching anything.
Larry mentioned a few minutes ago about a new podcast we're doing this weekend. Geekly Debate is coming back. That's been on hiatus since the beginning of the year. Just everybody was busy. But we're going to be doing a new weekly comic book show called This Geek in Comics, TGIC. Kind of like TGIF.
Nice.
Except there's no C for the day of the week.
Yeah, it's for comics. But, yeah, we're going to be talking about that week's comics. We'll go around, everybody will pick a favorite that they had that week, and we'll just discuss new books, maybe some news here and there, comic news, but, yep, look for that next week.
All right.
Sunday or Monday morning.
Well, also, I want to say happy birthday to my Amanda, whose birthday will be tomorrow, probably when she's listening to this podcast.
Oh, nice, nice.
But,
so then you have, that's a weird time period for your old lady to have a birthday, like a couple days before Valentine's Day.
In all fairness, my 2-year anniversary is Valentine's Day, but we didn't know
anniversary
it was
is different
Day.
Oh, see, that's how you got
how like, did you not know it's Valentine's
like,
Day
he's like dude Day. I asked her out the day before Valentine's Day, what was I thinking?
No dude, like seriously,
there's too much pressure.
I
on
hate
Valentine's
like
Day.
Dude, our 1-year anniversary comes up and everyone's like, oh, what are you guys doing today? Like, she kept me and her like, how do you guys know?
Yeah.
And we're like,
well, everything's more expensive to do on Valentine's
Day.
The main bad guy in a movie I saw last night that comes out on Valentine's Day, The Kingsman.
Yeah. Dude, I thought you were going to say, Fifty Shades of Grey. I thought the bad guy, I was like, dude, is Dorian Gray really a bad guy? I think she's asking for it.
Oh,
dude, I'm not even saying that to be mean. I think she's asking for it. He shows her a room. You mean your Xbox?
Yeah.
I was so Xbox. Come on.
Yeah, and he calls it the Red Room of Pleasure and Pain. I mean, come on.
Well, The Kingsman was a really good action movie.
I heard it was good.
Now it's not the best ever. I still think Edge of Tomorrow was probably a little better on the action.
Oh, but it was good. Oh, wow.
And,
yeah, Edge of Tomorrow came out.
It had a nice tongue-in-cheek James Bond feel to it. Exactly. It had some good laughs to it. I really enjoyed that. And I'm not necessarily a big spy movie.
I thought it hadn't come out yet. I'm not a huge fan.
Got early preview. But, yeah, it didn't come out until this weekend.
But it was really good. The Kingsman and 50 Shades of Grey are my to see movies.
I don't want to see Fifty Shades of Grey.
Well, I want to see it.
They're putting plastic over the seats.
I know, and I've heard that. But look, the Kingsman. I hope that it's as good as it's being hyped up to be, because it looks like James Bond on steroids.
Here's what I'm gonna say.
It looks like Wanted meets James Bond.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of Wanted, I won't see the movie when it comes out because he wrote that.
Because
fucking Mark Millar does not need any more money.
Dude.
It's Secret Service.
His money bin's only half full. Okay.
Yeah, the Kingsman can't die. Government-connected spy agency.
Yes, it's him and Marvel making more money. For those who do not know, Secret Service printed on Icon.
Just like Kick-Ass.
And is Mark Millar making more money? He did write Wanted. He did write Kingsman.
All right, well, look.
He did write Kingsman. Well, look, enough. He's just okay.
His money bin's only half full. He can't dive yet.
No. Right,
well, look, well, I mean, Kingsman, it's a good movie. I wouldn't mind seeing it again.
And now they're making Civil War. Go figure Mark Millar gets to do everything.
He ain't making a dime off Civil War.
No, thank God.
After Kingsman and after 50 Shades of Grey, my next...
Oh, who was he talking to? We got yelled at for being noisy. But what were you going to say, Josh?
I was saying that after Kingsman and after 50 Shades of Grey, my next to see movie that I'm kind of anticipating is Insurgent, the Divergent sequel.
I wasn't a fan of those movies.
Well, I mean, I like Divergent. Yeah. And, you know, and generally, anytime it comes on, was it Stars or HBO, I generally try and catch it because I like that movie.
I'm not a fan. But,
well, I mean, I like the storyline of it, you know, and I like Shailene Woodley is a good actor. Theo James is a good actor across.
Yeah,
I'm interested to see where.
I mean,
the story
I probably
goes.
Will see the second one, but
I wasn't sorry, thrilled with it wasn't, the first like, one.
Yeah, I
mean, what? Remember, I just was really like, wasn't compelled out, come back to
like, this movie was no good.
Who, Larry?
Yeah.
With Divergent, did you talk smack on Divergent?
I wasn't real impressed.
I wasn't either. I thought you talked a lot of smack on the Maze Runner. Maybe you're getting confused with those two. The Maze Runner.
Did you go see the Maze Runner?
I didn't go see the Maze Runner, but
I like the Maze Runner.
Maze Runner was the lame bummer. It was terrible.
I thought it was great.
Yeah,
I thought the ending sucked.
Well, it reminds me of a bad Resident Evil. Dude, you say the ending sucks, but the whole time the movie does nothing but build to the end. There's a mystery. Oh, what's going on? The end of the movie, oh, there's a mystery, but you don't really get any insight into the mystery.
It was just a giant test, and I get that. But everything leading up to the end I thought was great, and then the end just kind of like let it fall
They make
flat.
This big maze full of mechanical monsters for a test for these teenagers. But it seems like you're spending a lot of overhead.
Why didn't they go easier
and make a mutagenic virus and create weird killer zombies and put them in an underground lab? That would be cheaper.
Did they do that?
No, that's Resident Evil. This movie is basically Resident Evil with a nature theme.
Without zombies.
Yeah, with monsters instead of zombies.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of those.
In Divergent, I read the book.
Yeah.
And I watched the movie now and then I read the book. And I was like, well, you pretty much got everything you needed to from the movie. And the book wasn't that much better.
The book was
a freshman novel. You know,
it's big money, though.
It felt very much like a freshman novel.
Yeah.
Neither one of them compelled me to read the second book.
Well, look, speaking of reading the books, the fourth book in the Mortal Instruments series by Cassandra Clare, City of
Burning. Is that the Divergent?
No.
That's not that.
Mortal Instruments. It's the one with...
I don't know that.
Willie Collins.
Is that a character or a writer?
That's the actor's name. And she...
I'm not sure what you're talking about.
It's the Demon Hunter one.
Demon Hunter movie?
Yeah, they play a race called the Demon Hunters. Or Shadow Hunters, my bad.
I don't think I've seen that.
Right, well, anyways, what I'm trying to get around to is...
Yeah.
The fourth book...
I'm Divergent.
No, it's a Mortal Instruments series, not Cassandra Clare.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that is. Well,
it's a different series.
Yeah, it's a different series. Oh, okay. So, anyways, the issue that I'm having with this book is I'm up to like page 129, and as I'm reading through it, there are so many grammatical screw-ups, syntax errors, misspellings, words that are there that should not be, and sentences that are not
really
that don't read correctly. Yes, and I cannot. Huh. I cannot even count how many I have found.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to finish a book that
it's,
had...
Because it's so damn many.
I would just have to put it down.
Like, honestly, at this point, I'm ready to just take a red pen like an English professor...
And then mail it back to her.
A lot of the youth fiction, it's somewhere in between. It's like text messaging
and junior high school essay.
Well, it's almost a borderline Harlequin romance novel at some point.
Yeah, but the problem that I'm having with this is if it's the first book in the series, that I can understand. It's your first book.
Oh, this is the fourth.
Yeah, this is the fourth. There's no excuse for this kind of stuff anymore. And Simon & Schuster up in New York, how many freaking editors do you have? You can't have someone read through this or have its own author read through it to make sure it actually reads correctly.
They should get one more.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's about all we have for time for today.
We going to do a final thought? I have a final thought.
Oh, you have a final thought?
I do.
What's your final thought, Gilbert?
My final thought is David, who's usually he's here. This year he hadn't been here. He had a work schedule, but he got an amazing interview with writer, creator, artist Stefan Sedgwick. I don't know how to pronounce his first name.
However you pronounce it.
But he's awesome. Look for that on Outright Geekery. It'll probably be up either today, no later than tomorrow. Not only is Dave really proud of it, he should be. It's an amazing interview, but there's some really good news in there. Breaking stuff about upcoming projects from that creator. Yeah.
Excellent.
So good for him. He wanted me to say that, and it was good because I didn't really have my own final thought. Thanks, David.
All right. My final
thought. Josh has a final thought.
My friend Ashley Cavender's birthday is today, so I want to say happy birthday to her, even though I sent her a text message this morning.
Awesome. Does she listen? Is she an avid?
I don't know.
Well, she should be.
It,
you should tell her to start listening.
Yeah, I'm probably going to. And also, on Friday the 13th, you know,
I've had historical good luck on Friday the 13th.
Yeah, oddly enough, yes.
Yeah. Maybe I try harder.
Ducati Motorcycles, their store... the store that's up in West Nashville on White Ridge Road, it's a BMW Ducati Vespa scooter store.
I know
they're
that
having,
is.
They're having a Ducati test ride demo day on Friday. It's
where anybody can just ride a bike?
Yeah, anybody can ride a bike.
What could possibly go wrong?
Well, I mean, if they have a motorcycle license, they can ride a bike.
Okay, yeah.
But the reason why I'm saying this is they're debuting the new Scrambler, which looks beautiful. They're letting.
Is it like a three-wheel thing, the Scrambler?
No, it's
just a smaller.
It's like a Ducati version of the Triumph Scrambler. It's like a trails bike almost.
Yeah.
So and then they're doing the 1200 Multistrada, which is a dual sport, and they're demoing the 1299 Panigale.
So then these are all motorcycles.
Super bike.
Awesome.
Yeah, so it's like the 1299 Panigale is like almost a $20,000 super bike. So it's supposed to be freezing cold that day, but I'm gonna piss out of
Well, sounds like fun. Jules?
He's going to that Sports Illustrated thing downtown.
No, I'm not. I haven't read Sports Illustrated.
This Wednesday, you're not supposed to read it.
You're just supposed to have the pages.
I will
together.
Say, you know what? I finally caught up on all my last week's books this morning. Nathan Edmondson is probably my new favorite writer.
Really? For what book?
Punisher, Black Widow.
Black Widow's awesome.
He has been a tour de force. I hate the Punisher.
Like, I hate Punisher too.
Every issue, I want to read the next one. That is disturbing to me.
The cover this week is beautiful.
Not
Punisher.
Since Frankenstein, Punisher,
Frankencastle.
Frankencastle.
By Remender.
Right, Remender, have I actually enjoyed reading Frankencastle?
Awesome.
And I want to say, like, good job. Like,
awesome.
I hate that character, and I love that book, and I don't know why.
When's Edmondson going to get some more indie stuff, man?
That's a great question.
He should, because he's
but
got a lot
he's
going
really
on.
He really made his niche in the whole spy military part of the Marvel universe.
Paramilitary.
And, you know, he does a really good job with those books. Deathlock's really fun to read.
Oh, yeah, he's doing Deathlock, too.
Yeah, he does.
He's
and it's an awesome book.
Is he still doing All New Invaders, too? That wasn't him.
No, that's James Robinson.
Oh, that's right.
But I have to say, perhaps
that's three
Nathan
books.
It's three good books.
Yeah. That are on time. Even with Phil Noto doing the art, they're on time.
Yeah. God, That is a little impressive.
It is.
And good night, Elaine.
Larry's sitting here.
Yeah, Larry. Hurry up, guys. Yeah, you weren't paying any attention. I started doing that halfway through.
I was trying.
Oh, and Jonathan Hickman is still the man.
He's all right.
Dude, the man.
I just read Southern Bastards.
Oh, yeah, because it's awesome. Told you.
Hey, Jules. Hey, guess what, Adam?
All of Jules' ideas are terrible, and Miles Morales and the Clone Saga will never happen.
Never happen.
Hey, Miles Morales is already on the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon. I am almost there.
Alright, so my final thought, I believe, because nobody else has said it today, I think we do need a fuck Jules.
There's no Taylor. Get along when there's no Taylor.
As always, all opinions expressed here on Geeks of the Square Table are those of the person expressing them and not of the podcast as a whole. Come see us all at Comic City 2, Madison, Tennessee.
What's up, Maddie?
Check us out at comiccity.com, outrightgeekery.com. Find us on Facebook. See you next week for another fabulous episode of
Fabulous episode.
Absolutely fabulous.
Absolutely fab.
That was a great show.
That was a good one.
Yeah.